fiber of our being to experience a life-changing transformation with the Savior of the world. We want our souls to be restored, lifted, refreshed. We want to leave this place feeling light, feeling and knowing that we've touched the presence and the hem of the One who holds the world and hangs it upon nothing. In Jesus' name, thank you for these things. Amen. Amen. Church, hey, we have a special guest for you tonight. I've traveled a little bit with him, and he personifies for me the joy of Christ. And he is an adventurer for Jesus. And when I picture in my mind what Christ would do with his downtime, I picture in my mind Pastor Paul Andre. Because whatever he does is an adventure. I went to Israel with him. We took a team down and we went to Israel. And everyone we were with was like, this is the craziest trip I've ever been on. Those that had been there before and those that kind of knew, they were like, this is a trip like none other. I mean, we were climbing through tunnels and climbing up walls, and we were just all over the map doing some really cool stuff. And he comes tonight. And, you know, it always confuses me when Christians get angry and heavy. And it contradicts the character of Christ, doesn't it? When I see angry, unhappy, bitter Christians, I look back at them and go, what's the matter with you? Your sins are forgiven. You've been restored. You should be smiling and happy. Now, I understand we'll go through times in that. Where, you know, you'll be in a battle. But when I every time I experience Pastor Paul, it is a pleasant one, a smile on his face, and he is a joy to be around. Church on the North Coast, can you stand on your feet with me and make welcome once again to this platform, Pastor Paul Andre, as he comes to deliver the word tonight.
All right. Thank you very, very much, Pastor Troy. You may be seated. So great to be back here at Church on the North Coast. I'll tell you, I spent 6 of my years here at this church as a youth pastor and as assistant pastor, and there may be a few of you that can actually remember those days. Look at them. If you remember those days, raise your hand. These are the true old timers at Church on the Rise. I mean, God bless you. You all look great. I can recognize every single one of you. And so, I mean, we had so much of Church on the North Coast ingrained in us. When we started Church on the Rise in Westlake, this is a true story. You know, you don't have a lot of staff in the beginning. You are the staff, and, you know, your family's the staff. And so I'm answering the phone, and I said, Church on the North Coast. I mean, here it is. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, this is Church on the Rise. I was just so used to being at Church on the North Coast, and we've got your DNA, and your pastor is my pastor. I just want you to know that I still call Pastor Louis my pastor. I talk with him often. I text with him often as well. And we just are privileged to be able to be a part of the things that God is doing in Northeastern Ohio together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're excited about that. Well, I want to tell you a story about a father. He was an old country gentleman, and he had a son. He was about 16 or 17 years of age, and his son was just a rather lazy boy. And his dad was real concerned about this young man growing up. Tell the person next to you, say, it's time to grow up. I mean, he just wasn't really doing much with his life. And his father wanted to somehow just see maybe what he would be in life. He was hoping that he would, become something and become someone. So one day, he decided he was going to do a test on his son. And what he did is that father, he grabbed a hold of a Bible, and he placed the Bible in his room. He placed a silver dollar in his room. He placed a bottle of whiskey in his room. And he placed a Playboy magazine all in his room, right there all together on a table. And the father went behind the door to see which one of those items his son would pick up. He said to himself, if he picks up the Bible, I know that he's going to be a preacher and make me proud. He said if he picks up the silver dollar, he'll be a banker or a businessman, and that would be just as fine. He says if he picks up that bottle of whiskey, he'll be a no-good drunk. And he says if he grabs that Playboy magazine, he'll be a church, a girl chaser, and I wouldn't want that either. So anyway, the father's hiding there behind the door when his son comes home from school, comes through the doorway, and he's watching as intently as can be. And, well, sure enough, the son grabs the hold of the Bible, and he starts leafing through the Bible. He felt so good about it until he put it down. And then he grabbed a hold of the silver dollar, and he looked at it, and he popped it into his pocket. And then he went ahead and he uncorked the bottle of whiskey and he took a big swig as he was leafing through the Playboy magazine. And the father said, oh my God, he's going to be a congressman. Well, anyway, today I just want you to know you're going to amount to something in 2013. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Amen. And God wants us to understand that, you know what, we're going to sometimes go through some things in our life before we find what it is that God wants us to do. How many of you, it took you a little bit of time to be able to figure it out? And I'm reminded today of a story I heard about a man who was out hunting with his friend the sheriff when all of a sudden he was attacked by an alligator. This is a true story. He's attacked by an alligator. The alligator chomps on one of his legs. The man, of course, is in intense pain. And as he is attempting to try to get the alligator off of his leg, he's spinning around. His friend, the sheriff, pulls out his gun and goes to shoot the alligator. And guess what? He misses the alligator and shoots the other man's leg. And so that's a bad day when you come home with an alligator bite on one leg and a gunshot wound on the other. I want you just to shout with me a very simple thought, way worse. Amen? Just say that with me. 1, 2, 3, way worse. Tonight we're going to be looking at Adversity University, lessons from the life of Job, who had it worse than the guy who had an alligator on one hand, on one leg and a gunshot wound in the other. I'm just going to quickly mention some product before we get into it. You can start opening up to the book of Job, if you would. While we're going to talk just for a moment about our glue marriage ministry, Patty and I are going to be not in Israel this year. We're going to Hawaii for back-to-back weeks, and we're really excited about it because we're doing a marriage conference with Katy Perry's parents. Who doesn't know who Katy Perry is? Is there anyone in America that doesn't know who Katy Perry is? Okay, well, you can Google her. Katy Perry is one of the most popular pop stars in America today, and her parents are Christians. They've been in our church last year, and we've developed a relationship, and they asked us to be the keynote speaker. So if your pastor will let you go to Hawaii, we'd love to have you and be a part of that in March. But if you can't go to Hawaii, this is a really inexpensive way to be able to get a lot of the same stuff in the marriage book called Glue. Tonight, I am going to sell this book instead of $15 like it is normally in Barnes & Nobles or other places around town. We're going to sell it for $10 for one single copy. And we never do this, Patty, but if you want to buy three copies, it'll be $25. And this is a great gift for somebody for Valentine's. Just think Valentine's. Somebody say Valentine's. Valentine's. Be thinking about that for yourself, your kids, somebody else that you might be able to bless as well as other people that may be going through marriage difficulty. I've found that when we're marriage missionaries, when we're thinking about helping somebody's marriage, you give them a book, you pray for them, you minister to them, you'll get them saved. Just last week, this is a true story, just happened. I had somebody in our church that said, listen, this is a couple that has a lot of problems in their marriage. They're all on the verge of divorce. You know, can you help them? I sat down with them, talked with them, ministered to them. They came to church, and guess what? They got saved the very first Sunday. Amen? Praise the Lord. We got glue for blended families, a CD that's just $5, a DVD that is $10, where we talk about the pillars of marriage. We have a teaching called Super Glue. Hey, listen. I found a great weight loss lipstick for my wife. You know what it is? Super glue. All right, some of you will get that by the end of the service. All right. And then we have the bundle And that is all of our products. We have red flags, which is 7 warning signs before you marry a psycho chick for singles. All right. How many of you are single out there? All right. So you have to get that one. Red flags, 7 warning signs before you marry a psycho chick or a psycho dude. All this together for just $40. The whole bundle, you save about 25%. And then we have a lot of great booklets, too. And what I'm going to do tonight, Patty, instead of $5 each, it'll be 2 for $5. And they can get a hold of booklets like Kings and Priests. Sex is like a sports game. You have to be married in order to get that. All right? You can't get that booklet if you're single. Then we have the 12 disciples, how they lived and died, and winning the battle of I, how you can overcome your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Let's give Patty a big hand. Isn't she pretty? She just keeps getting younger and younger every single year. All right, let's turn to the book of Job. If somebody says it's the book of Job, you know they're a new Christian. Amen? I was reading the book of Job the other night. I'm unemployed, and in the past, I was looking to be able to find some help, you know, better than monster.com, the book of Job. And I mean, I tell you, we actually had a guy. He was from Fox 8 News. He was a cameraman several years ago. He came to our church, and he got saved. And I mean, he was a rank sinner. I mean, the guy just hadn't been raised in the church. He was just a pagan through and through. And thank God, you know, God saves pagans. And so the guy, a few weeks after being in church, he comes up to me, and I'm sitting there with Bruce Neubauer. He was a part of this church in a great way, and me and Bruce are standing there, and he says, Pastor, I know what kind of version I should get of the Bible. He said, should I get the HIV version? And I mean, it was so hard not to laugh. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're biting your lip, but you got to let it out. It's just too much. I said, man, you never want HIV. You want NIV. No HIV, for sure. All right, so whatever version you have, let's go ahead and get into it here in the book of Job. All right, and we're going to be looking at chapter 1. Job chapter 1, and verses 6 through 8. Right. I'm looking for it myself. Well, there it is. I got it. Took me a little longer than it normally does. I got to use my bookmarker. Okay, here we go. 6 through 8. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. Now let's just skip over to chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. We're going to look at some life lessons in the book of Job as we go tonight through Adversity University. How many of you have been through Adversity University or even going through it right now? Some of you are scholars. I mean, you are just like absolute scholars when it comes to Adversity University. But I'm telling you, you have to pass in order to go on in life. You have to graduate in order to do something significant for God. I don't know anyone anywhere that has a great anointing in their life that has not gone through Adversity University. I just don't know them. There might be someone somewhere, but I've never met him, and I've met a lot of people in a lot of different countries of the world, a lot of places. So we all need to heed what we're going to learn here tonight. Number one, life lesson from Job is the devil is roaming to and fro doing what he does best. How many of you ever been to a zoo before? We like to go there to see the animals, visit relatives, whatever the case might be. You know, we enjoy just going and seeing the different animals. What's your favorite animal? It's kind of three. Shout out what your favorite animal is. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Lions. I heard someone else say lions. Was there a monkey out there? Bear? a lot of different animals in the zoo. It's a great, great place to go and just hang out and enjoy God's creation. Well, you know, one of the things that I enjoy seeing is the lions myself. And I enjoy watching them. Sometimes they actually move. You know, that's always good when they get up and they walk around. And they every once in a while, they might even hear one roar. You know, one of the great, great thrills that we had was actually seeing a lion in the wild. And Patty and I were in South Africa, Kruger National Park, 5 or 6 years ago. And while we were there touring, we actually got to within 10 feet of a real live lion after it just killed an animal. Its complete face was covered with blood. It had walked away from its prey, and vultures had descended upon it. But we were not afraid. We were not afraid 1 ounce. You know why? Because we were in an SUV. We were in an SUV with the doors locked and the windows up to the top. There was just a little bit of space to be able to take photography. And just like when you're in the zoo, you can see a lion, and it can be real close to you, but you're not afraid either. You know why? Because it's in a cage. But let me tell you something. I got news for you here tonight. The devil's not in a cage. I got news for you tonight. The Bible tells us, not only in the Old Testament here in the book of Job, but also in the New Testament, that he's like a roaring lion. He is going about the earth to and fro, seeking someone to devour. Let's look at the scripture in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone that he may devour." The good news is this, that the devil is not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. That means that he is in all places at all times. But the devil's not. Yes, he is on the loose. Yes, he is not in a cage. But at least we understand that he can't be in all places at all times like God does. So how does he operate? Well, he operates through many eyes and through many spies. There's a whole horde of hell that has joined him. Some one-third of the angels of God had joined Satan in his rebellion, cast out of heaven, cast down here to the earth to try to do everything they can to destroy God's handiwork. And so we understand that Satan has defected from God's kingdom. And as one that has defected as part of the kingdom of God, he has done everything that he can to be able to destroy our lives. So he is on the loose and he is on the roam looking for someone to destroy. Number second life lesson from Job is that God is sizing you up and so is Satan. God was bragging on his man Job one day. Let's look at it here in the book of Job chapter 1. And verse 8, it says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, and that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil?'" Wow. So it's important for us to live our life and to exercise our faith in such a way that brings God to the place of bragging on you when he is in the presence of his angels and even in the presence of the devil. I mean, here God and the devil are talking and they are having conversation. And I know that sometimes we don't think about this, but the Bible says the accuser of the brethren is accusing us day and night. There's conversation between God and the devil. "Hey, listen, I'm going to knock you out." And he says, "No, you're not going to knock me out. I'm going to do this." And, you know, I mean, there is communication between heaven and hell. And that communication includes, "Hey, have you seen my boy down there? Have you seen my boy down there at church on the North Coast? The man is praying. The man is fasting. The man is speaking faith. He's living faith. Have you seen my girl down there? Have you seen what she's doing? She's leading other people to Christ, bringing people to the Jason Upton concert, getting those 5 tickets, like Pastor Troy said, and blessing other people, getting them in the presence of God. Have you seen what they're doing to develop their family in their faith, bringing their kids to kids' church, their youth to youth ministry, and growing in the things of God. And so it's very important for us to understand that we all have a reputation. Somebody shout reputation. Men have a reputation. There's some men that have a reputation. You know, there's men, businessmen, that have a reputation of being honest. And you know that when they say something, it's true. And how many of you know there's men that they have another kind of reputation, that they're a lying crook? And you, I mean, if they say something, you might as well go the opposite way, and 9 times out of 10, you'll be right. When they say honest, it's true, you're going, no, it ain't. You're a liar, liar, pants on fire. Amen. And so we know that there are certain girls, they have a reputation. You know what I'm saying? We all have a reputation. And it could be a good reputation or a bad reputation, but what I'm saying is it's important to understand that you have a reputation in heaven and you have a reputation in hell, and make it a good one. Make it a good reputation, because you're going to have a reputation. It might as well be a great reputation. Paul the apostle had an incredible reputation in heaven and in hell. Let's look at it in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. See, there was a reputation. The evil spirit said, hey, I know Jesus, man. He beat me to a pulp on the cross when he got up. 3 days later, he stomped my head. I got the bruise on my head. I mean, I've been beaten by both of these guys you're talking about. He says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Wow. What an incredible indictment about somebody that didn't have their reputation set up in heaven or in hell. And what I'm saying today is, as we go through Adversity University, let's make sure that we are living right. Let's make sure that we have a reputation, because there's all sorts of unseen eyes that are watching us every single day, whether we're in public or whether we're in private. God's watching you. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. And there are other forces from the other side that are watching you as well. And they are plotting and planning your demise. God wants us to understand that we can't just be a name dropper. Tell the person next to you, don't be a name dropper. I mean, that's all these guys had. These 7 sons of Sceva, they said, hey, listen, you come out in the name of Paul's God, and you come out in the name of Jesus. But they didn't have any real relationship with Jesus themselves. They did not have a reputation. What kind of reputation do you have in heaven? And what kind of reputation do you have in hell? I hope and pray, if you're a man, that you have a reputation of being a spiritual stud. Amen? Turn to the man next to you and say, you're a stud muffin. I'm telling you, you're a stud muffin. I'm not sure that's a compliment or not, but anyway, a spiritual champ, not a chump. And you know, I pray that, ladies, you have a reputation of being a woman of faith, being a woman of virtue, being a woman of God. Amen? Both in heaven and hell. And that you will build a name that will be not only seen on earth and respected on earth, but will be respected in heaven and respected in hell. Let's give the devil his worst nightmare. Amen? Amen. Amen. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22 and verse 1. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So when we have a great name, a great reputation, it doesn't just work here on earth, but it also works in heaven and in hell. Number 3, the third life lesson from Job is that God is going to let us go through some tough tests and route to becoming spiritual champions. Back to the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It says, have you not made a hedge around him, Satan says to God, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. We'll read one more verse here. It says, now there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Well, now we're going to begin to talk about the destruction that came to them. You see, all great men and all great women of God have been battle tested. They have battle tested and they have battle scars. Paul the Apostle said it like this in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, that he was basically this, a marked man. Listen to how he says it. He says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He had battle scars. I mean, he literally had scars where he had been beaten with rods, where he had been stoned, where he had been, in many situations, persecuted and beaten for the gospel. And so he had those battle scars. And today, as you go through battles, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some scars that you're going to have in your life. And one of the things that I've learned is that you're either going to be scared or scarred. Come on, somebody, help me preach this message. Amen? Help me preach this message. Because here, you have a choice. You have a choice to either run from adversity, or you can say, listen, I'm going through adversity, university. I'm going to get my certificate, my diploma. I might even get a master's degree at this. I might even get a divinity degree, a doctor divinity degree in this thing. Because you know what? I'm not going to run away from the test, because tests will make us our best. And if we're willing to go through those tests, we'll have a testimony at the end of the day. Rather than just running from adversity, let it become a teacher, a tutor for you. Now let me tell you something, the difference between winners and losers. Here's the difference between winners and losers. Listen, losers always focus on what they're going through. Winners focus on what they're going to. Big, big difference. It's a difference in your mindset. You're not just thinking about what you're going through. You're thinking about what you're going to. You realize that you have a destiny. You have a purpose. God has a plan. He's going to take you someplace. And that he has a purpose for everything that happens in your life. And you understand that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Somebody shout a big amen. 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 Now let's talk about the gym for a little bit. Patty and I used to work out at Urban Active. Now it's LA Fitness, right? LA Fitness. And so you know where that is in Westlake by Crocker Park. Anyway, they have a big gym there, 50,000 square foot gym, and I'll tell you, I mean, it's a major workout facility. And so we've seen all sorts of people working out. And here's something that I've noticed when I was in there working out, is that big guys lift big weights. Little guys lift little weights. And sometimes you'll see somebody small lifting big weights, but most of the time it's big guys lift big weights, little guys lift little weights. And sometimes there's some girls that lift some pretty big weights. I have some girls I'm scared of in there. I say, yes, ma'am. You know, I hold the door for them, make sure that, you know, they don't get them upset. But here is something that I want you to understand. In the spirit, if we have great faith, that means we're going to have to lift some big weights. We're going to have to go through some big adversity if we're going to have big faith. You can't get big if you don't lift big weights. If you're working out with them 10-pound dumbbells, you are never going to get big. You might not even get toned with 10-pounders. I mean, you might have to go with 20 pounds just to get toned. All right? But if you're really going to get big, you're going to have to get out some 100-pound dumbbells, and you're going to have to start working out with some bigger weights. And what I'm saying is, it's not a bad thing that you go through big problems. It's not a bad thing that you go through big adversity in your life, because it's just going to make your faith bigger and stronger and be able to handle more in your future. Peter went through a big test in his life that involved both God and Satan, just like Job did, in the sense that both God and Satan were battling over this individual. And here he is in the book of Luke, if you'll turn there. Luke chapter 22, 31 and 32. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Now watch this. You see, Satan had to ask permission before he could attack Peter. Satan is got limited power and access in your life. He cannot do everything that he'd want to do. If he could do everything he wanted to do, you'd be dead right now. If he could do everything he wanted to do, you would be sick. You know, you would have a calamity in your life beyond anything you ever had as your worst nightmare. But see, the Bible says he can't even tempt you beyond what you are able. You know, God's put certain barriers on him. He's put certain borders around him so that, you know what? Satan is not able to do whatever he wants to do. And here, Satan was demanding to destroy Peter's faith. He was demanding to be able to knock him out. He realized that Jesus was going to build his church upon Peter, and he wanted to knock out the cornerstone before it got laid in there. You know what I'm saying? He wanted to knock out a foundation before it ever got laid. And what God wants us to understand is this, is that sometimes we may fail, but as long as our faith doesn't fail, we can pass. Amen? You may fail in the way that you responded to a situation, but as long as you don't throw away your faith, you can come back. The Lord says when you get strong again, when you get back to your senses, when you get back to where you're supposed to be, you know what? I can use you. My own personal assistant is here with me tonight, sitting next to my son Jordan. He came to me just recently after a bout with alcohol. And you know, he came to one of our men's ministry breakfasts. One of the men in our church invited him there. And it wasn't really too recently. How many years ago was it? 5 years. Okay, 5 years. That's not recent. All right. 5 years ago, he came to the church. And he wasn't in a place at that time to be able to be my assistant. But now he is. You know why? Because he has not let go of his faith. Even though he was in times of failing in his own personal life, and even though he knew the right thing to do and wasn't doing the right thing, but you know what? He bounced back, just like Peter bounced back, and just like you can bounce back as well. I'm just here to encourage you here tonight. You can bounce back. Tell the person next to you, you can bounce back. You might have failed, but your failure isn't final. Just don't let go of your faith. Even if you failed, don't let go of your faith. Peter didn't let go of his faith. And because of that, he was able to come back, the bounce back disciple. Let me tell you, the devil will do everything to try to make you think that he's in control. The devil is a liar. Somebody says, liar, liar, pants on fire. I remember when we were looking for our land in Westlake, Ohio. And actually, we didn't think we could afford the property in Westlake, Ohio. We thought that it was just too expensive, and it was too expensive. I mean, we were just a church of about 300 people, and the land prices back then were like $100,000 an acre. And I knew if we were going to build a decent-sized church, you know, we need to have 15, 20 acres. We have about 18.8 acres. And I'm just like, those numbers were way too big for where I could think at that time. And so as we looked at different places, even though we knew that that was really the place that would have been the ideal place, we decided we were going to go to Avon. And we looked at Avon, and they had some property there, and we put an offer in on the property, and the property was accepted, but there was a contingency on the offer. And that was that the property was zoned industrial, and that we would have to go to the Planning Commission and get it rezoned so that we could build on it before we would exercise the agreement. So we go to the Planning Commission. I talked to the mayor in advance. You know, it's always good to do your homework first. I went in there. I wanted to see what kind of opposition we had. The mayor, I think he liked me. But anyway, he said, Pastor, he says, we won't oppose you. He says we wouldn't oppose God. That's what he said to me. He said, we wouldn't oppose God. So I said, oh, that's wonderful. I wasn't really too worried hearing that the mayor, right? We go there in Planning Commission, and guess what? They voted 7 against us, 0 for us. I mean, it was 7-0. I'm like, I guess the mayor's not in control of that city. I mean, I figured it out real quick, or at least he's not in control of that planning commission, because that planning commission shot us like a piece of Swiss cheese. I mean, we were full of holes. And it just so happened that they had the paper there that night. I'm just like, oh boy, here it is. They're taking pictures, and they're writing this story as I get up there, probably for about 30 minutes. I'm up there talking about the vision of Church on the Rise and what we're all about. We're a family ministry, a church for the own family, and specializing in children and youth ministry and focus on marriage and all these things. And then they voted it down. And then the head guy comes to me, and he goes, Pastor, we're not against you. We just don't want to use that land. That's industrial land. Let us help you find someplace else. Well, you know, I just wasn't sure what to do or think after that. And I go home the next day, the newspaper front page headline says, Church on the Rise rejected. I mean, this is a big paper. Church on the Rise rejected. It's the lead story. And I mean, it's front page lead story. And it's one of these stories that it's not just on the front page, but then it keeps going and going and going. I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, they just keep writing. I thought to myself, I said, Patty, we might as well just move. Patty, we might as well just head out of town. I mean, it's over, man. Church on the Rise rejected. This has got to be the worst thing that could ever happen to us. I can't believe it. I hope Pastor Louis has a job for me because I'm coming back. Amen. I hope he's still got my office available. So anyway, the most amazing thing happened. What I thought was evil and bad turned out to be righteous and good, because the phone was ringing off the hook. People calling, go, hey, we read about you guys. This is exactly the kind of church we've been looking for. Hey, when's your services? And we literally grew 100 people overnight and had the money to be able to buy the land in Westlake. Come on, somebody. That's how we got into Westlake. Adversity University. Tell the person next to you, you're getting a degree. You're getting a degree. Some of you are going to get an associate's degree, some a bachelor's degree, some a master's degree, some maybe a doctorate, you know, of Adversity University. But I'm telling you, when you pass, you can go to the next level. Amen. And God will use you in a great, great way. Now, if you're going to recover all from what the enemy has taken from you, you got to understand some things, because Job lost it, but Job recovered it. And I'm just going to take a few minutes, but you got to get a hold of this. This would be a great time to take notes. Number one, if you are going to recover all that the enemy has stolen from you, you must not curse or blame God or lose your integrity. Look what Job does. In Job chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Sad to say that Job's wife was not on the same spiritual level that he was at. Amen? Is that safe to say? Yeah. I mean, we realize that this woman could qualify for the red flags teaching, a psycho chick. I mean, she was really a lunatic. In this particular instance here, we see this woman that has literally, began to say to her husband, just blame God. Just blame God. Just curse God and die. And Job would have nothing to do with it. Job held fast to his faith. He held fast to his integrity. And what I'm saying to you, if you're going to recover all, maybe you've lost a lot. Maybe you've lost a whole lot. But I'm just telling you, if you're going to recover all, you can't curse God. You've got to bless God. Amen? You can't have a death mentality. Oh, we're just going to die. We're just going to shrivel up, wither up. No, you got to have a life mentality. God has double for all our trouble. Amen? God's going to give me double for all my trouble. I'm just reminded today of a man named Mephibosheth. Somebody say Mephibosheth. Don't ask me how to spell it. I have no idea. I just know it starts with an M. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3 through 8. Because Mephibosheth was very much like Job. He was a man that was very, very low in his life. Very far down. And in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 3 through 8, we have this incredible story. It says, "Then the king said, is there, this is David, not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodibar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir and the son of Amiel from Lodibar." Somebody say Lodibar. Lodibar. You got to get this. "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I am surely will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore you." What was he going to do? Restore you. He says, "all that the land of Saul, your grandfather, had, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." Then he bowed himself and said, "what is your servant that you should look upon me, such a dead dog as I?" Wow. Now let me tell you something. Mephibosheth was living in Lodibar. And what happens when people get discouraged? You see, things didn't go well for him. He basically had his grandfather killed. He had his father killed. And it wasn't really a healthy thing to be going around telling everybody, hey, I'm a son of the king. You understand? Those days, you didn't go into the bar and drink and go, hey, I'm the king's son. You know what I'm saying? You just really didn't want to get yourself killed. You probably wanted to keep a very low profile, because most of the time when there was a new king and there was a king's son still there, most of the time they would make you a human shish kebab. And so here he was laying low. He was living in Lodibar. That's what the Bible says. And what happens many times when people have had adversity in their life, they low debar rather than raise debar. Come on, somebody. It's time for us to go in a different direction than what we may be thinking in our natural minds, in our condition that we may be in. God doesn't want you to low debar, to low de standards. God wants you to raise debar. God wants you to go to a whole nother level and to say, you know what? I'm not going to throw out my faith. I'm not going to throw out my godly friends. I'm not going to throw out my godly mentors. I'm not going to stop coming to church. I'm going to start going more often to church. I'm going to get more involved with the small groups. I'm going to get more involved with being involved with the men's ministry, women's ministry, whatever it takes to be able to take me to the next level. I'm not going to low debar. I'm going to raise debar. Job raised debar. When Job went through adversity, university, he did not throw away his integrity. He did not curse God as his wife suggested, but rather what he did is he trusted in God that God would see him through it. Even though he had the worst of friends. I don't know why they call him Job's comforters. Those guys were the most discomforting people I've ever seen. I mean, do you know, I actually did research on this. Do you know how many discouraging statements they made to him? Somebody just guess. Throw them out there. 50 is too low. 100's a little high. 72 words of discouragement they brought to him. Many of them were false accusations, saying things like, you are in sin, God is judging you, you are to blame, you want to be blessed, but you're not going to be blessed. They had all sorts of things that they were saying to him that were words of discouragement rather than words of encouragement. So what are you saying, Pastor Paul? What I'm saying to you is this. There may be a time in your life when you're going through such adversity, you can't find a friend. You can't find one single human friend. But let me tell you something. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I promise you, without a doubt, that he will never leave you or forsake you. Even though your friends might be like Job's comforters and they might not be there for you when you need them the most, I'm just telling you, stick true to God. Stay true to your faith. Don't let go of your faith because God is going to give you double for all your trouble. What had to happen before he could get his full restoration was Job had to pray for his friends that were acting more like enemies. And what I'm saying to you tonight is before you're going to get full restoration in your life, you've got to be willing to pray for people that cause you the most pain. Think about who it is that is causing you the most pain in your life. Someone that has hurt you, someone that has brought shame into your life, someone that's falsely accused you, hurt your reputation. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, be willing to pray for your enemies and God will restore you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes here tonight? I believe that God is speaking to just about every single person here tonight in some way about Adversity University. And today, if you say, Pastor Paul, I want to pass with flying colors. I want to get through what I need to get through. I'm not focusing what I'm going through, but what I'm going to. I see that there's some reason for everything that happens to me. And God, I'm willing to learn as I go through these life lessons. If that's you tonight, I want you just to raise your hand. I say, you know what, Pastor, I want to be able to pass through Adversity University and to be able to graduate so that I can be used in a greater way for God. Amen. Just keep your hand up. Father, tonight I pray for those that are their hands are raised, probably half of this congregation tonight. Lord, some of them are going through it right now. If you're going through it right now, just wave your hand at me. Yep, going through it right now. You know exactly what it's like. There's some times where it just feels like you wake up in the morning and every devil in hell is sitting on your bedpost. They're just waiting for you. But let me tell you something. Your God is able. Your God is able to deliver you. Just like he was able to deliver Daniel from the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, your God is able to deliver you, and he wants to deliver you. Father, I pray tonight for my friends. I love this church. I love their pastor. I love the staff here, the leaders here. This is a healthy, holy church. And Father, I just pray as each individual goes through different adversity in their life, God, that they will grow through it. God, that the things that seem to be bad, the things that seem to be evil, God, will turn around for good. God, you can even take situations that seem to be so negative and make them positive. I just pray, Father, that they will grow in their faith and their relationship with you. And Father, that they will be a blessing unto others, even as Job was. Lord, he was willing to pray for others. And what he made happen for others, you made happen for him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Choi.
Amen. As we conclude tonight, I want to give you the opportunity to sow financially into Pastor Paul's life. We will receive a love offering on the way out as you make your way out tonight. sees you. He sees you so well. Just recently, I was down in ministering down in Florida with Pastor Greg at his church, and my little girl's 8 years old, and living with Pastor Greg and Pastor Bobby was a little girl who was orphaned, and she was 8 years old, and this is her story. At 6 years old, her mother was out of the picture, left the home, just left her and her with her father. Her father was an alcoholic, and he would go to the store and he would steal, and he would use little Riley as his pawn. So they walk into the Walmart this particular day. A week prior to this visit, this man somehow miraculously, not miraculously, because if you know Pastor Greg, you know that he found this man somehow. And he shared Christ with him. And this man with this little girl attended his church and gave his life to Christ. But sometimes when you give your heart to Jesus, your reputation doesn't, it takes a while. It's a process. A week later, he needs some money. So he goes and he goes to Walmart with his little girl like he had done many times before and kind of uses her as a distraction. Fills up the cart and he's making his way out the door and the alarms sound. And little Riley there, 6-year-old little girl, is panicked now. She realizes what's going on. The cops come, take her father to jail. The only phone number he had on him was Pastor Greg. So he calls Pastor Greg and he says, "You have to come now and pick up my little girl because they're going to take me to jail and I have warrants that are outstanding and they're going to take me and who knows how long I'll be in." It's been 2 years now. His little girl still living with Pastor Greg and Bobby Ball. Just recently, in the past Christmas season, the very same Walmart where little Riley experienced the trauma of losing her father, all of the security she ever knew. Look at the restoration power of God. Watch this. There's some local firefighters who wanted to bless a little child. And somehow, some way, they got the name of little Riley. They took little Riley and they said, "We're going to take you on a shopping spree for Christmas. You get to fill up this shopping cart as full as you can fill it. You fill it up with anything you want in the store. Anything you want in the store, you just fill it up till there's no room in this shopping cart. And then you're just going to wheel it right out the front door and we're going to pay for it." She fills it up, and she wheels it right out the front door, and no alarms go off. The very same Walmart where she lost her father, God restored her beyond all of her wildest dreams. And I share that with you tonight to tell you this, that God sees you. God sees where the trauma is. You know, Marty, God sees. He sees it. He saw all that happened last year. He sees it. He sees it. He sees it. And just like little Riley, he's rescuing you. He's sending a Pastor Greg and a Pastor Bobby to come along your way, to minister to your needs, to fill you up and give you what you need and pat your boo-boos. And then suddenly he's gonna restore so much of what's been lost, just like he did for Job. He's gonna restore so much of what's been lost in your life that a year from now you won't even recognize the pain of this moment of loss. I declare tonight prophetically, let's pray. I declare prophetically over every hand raised, every heart that's heavy now, every soul that's experienced loss and heaviness in this house. I declare prophetically that you shall restore, that God, you see them, and God, you're leading them and you're directing them, and that the Spirit of God is bringing light, bringing lightness and bringing refreshment to them. And God, you are going to bless them so much that they're going to walk out the store with their carts filled with more than they could ever have dreamed of. God, they're going to be so full of the blessing of the Lord that a year from now they're not even going to recognize who they were. They're not going to recognize the pain of the loss and the hurts. They're not going to be able to recognize it, God, because you're bringing your goodness by them. You've got your arms and you're scooping them up. Your eye is truly on the sparrow. Your eye is on your children, and you are bringing them into a good place. We thank you for this tonight, God. We thank you that you are so faithful to us, that God, as we consider the sacrifice of Jesus, what could we bring to you? What could we bring to you but a heart that says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for us so we could live for you. Now, Jesus, you represent us there, so we will represent you here. We'll be your ambassador here. You be our brother there, who intercedes for us, whoever liveth to make intercession for us, to plead on our behalf, to declare to the Father our innocence, because we trust in the finished work of Christ. We give you praise tonight. We bless your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, one more thing before we leave tonight. If you've never given your heart to Christ, don't leave here. Listen to me. Don't leave here until you do that. You see, it's more than just a seat that you throw up into heaven. Salvation is more than just a one-way trip. Salvation is you allowing that heaven to reside here where it's needed most. So I'm going to plead with you tonight, if you don't know Christ, if you know for certain that you're not in faith, that you don't have a relationship with the risen Savior, I want you to come and see me personally before you leave tonight. And I want to lead you personally into that prayer where I'll introduce you to Him. I'll introduce you to purpose. 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 I'll give you more than a reason to live. I'll give you a reason to lay your life down. I'll introduce you to the Savior of the world who makes everything worth living. Amen. God bless you. Please give on your way out. Consider what you'd give tonight. Bless the man of God. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Tomorrow night starts the worship gathering. I pray that you'll be here. I pray that you'll bring somebody. It's going to be a powerful time. If you want a ticket for that worship gathering or the concert on Sunday night, come see me. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray real hard. Let Jesus talk to you. Let Him talk through you. God bless you as you go. If you gave your heart to the Lord or you want to, come see me. If you need a ticket, come see me.